Welcome
to Family Home Evening
with Bad Mormons.
I am Mandy.
And I'm Charlotte.
And we are sisters who get drunk and tell stories on the internet for you, our listener.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Cheers. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Angel's Envy.
Which is not Angel's anus.
Yes, correct.
Oh, okay, just checking.
It's whiskey. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Jameson. Because I didn't want to waste the good stuff on me.
Oh, fantastic. You deserve the good stuff, Charlotte.
I was just thinking about it. I was like, Jameson isn't bad either. Like, what kind of snobs have we become? Sorry. It's not like it's Jack Daniels or anything.
My bad.
Jim Beam. Delicious.
Hey, while we're cheersing, let's hoist one up and pour one down for our patrons.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that was you guys for you, are buddy. Cool.
All you buddies.
So cool.
Thank you for being you and hanging out with us every week.
Every goddamn week. We have so many great stories to tell you this week, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh my God, it's going to be so much fun.
I do have to repent. So I went to my very first football game last week. Was it your first football game, too?
Yep, it was my first football. And my first hockey game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we also went to a hockey game. And I, in my excitement, we got very drunk because apparently that's part of the whole gig.
Well, I mean,
that's
I wouldn't go if we were sober.
It's not why we were there. Was just to get shit-faced, wasted.
Go Seahawks. Go Hawks.
But anyways, yeah, we got very drunk, and I don't know if you've been to a professional sporting event stadium, but the pitch is very steep.
Yeah.
And the seats are very close together. And when you've been drinking all day and you stand up and start jumping up and down to cheer for your teams,
you spill beer all over people.
Yes.
That might be sitting beneath you.
Yes.
To be fair, they should have stood. They wouldn't have gotten beer on them.
And I think they were standing.
They weren't.
They were all wearing Seahawks
gear. I know,
and
they weren't standing, which is why I don't feel bad that they got beer on them.
Oh. Anyways, yeah, so that's what I repent for. I spilled beer all over the people in front of me.
It's okay. Craig did, too.
Oh, did he?
And the guy kind of looks back. I was like, oh, my God, I am so sorry for him. Craig's like, oh, I didn't know what happened.
Ooh, I missed that part.
So that's why I said, you're the second person that spilled beer on them.
Oh, I thought maybe you were referring to, like, a previous event or something.
No. Let's talk about maybe 30 minutes earlier.
Oh. Well, I wasn't sitting by Craig, so.
That's true.
It wasn't the same people, right?
Not the same person, but the same group.
Oh. And that's when we got kicked out of football forever.
Bye, football.
It was fun, though. Yes, and we did go to a hockey game, which reminded me a lot of the old Bellingham days. Courtney and I used to love to go to Icehawks games. Bellingham Icehawks.
I don't even know what that is.
If they were a junior league. Okay. They would play the Canada, the Canucks? No. There was some other junior. There's a lot of junior hockey leagues in Canada. Directly across the border. 20 minutes across the border.
I like it because they fight and they have specific people for fighting. It's like somebody fucked with their person. Oh, get the fighter person in. That's what they do. That's their job. I'm like, I like it. I like that.
I was talking to one of my coworkers about it and he was like, you know, I used to like it back in the 90s because they would fight. And I was like, I don't know how long it's been since you've seen a hockey game, but I was just at one and they were beating the shit out of each other.
It was rad.
So yeah. Anyways, that was my repentance, was for spilling beer and subsequently making a fool out of all of us.
What I don't repent for was getting hot dogs and dipping them in nacho cheese. I will never repent for that. It was delicious, and I love football now.
It was a lot. It was actually a ton of fun. We tried to get we got some souvenirs, and we tried to get the Cardinals mascot to take a picture with us. He kept looking at us, and as soon as we got close, he would turn his back to us and walk away. It was really funny.
We were leaving the parking lot, and a Cardinals fan was leaving, and Courtney had her Cardinals popcorn bucket, and he's like, you there, you can't leave with that bucket. You can't leave with our bucket.
It was great.
Courtney warmed up to him, gave him a big kiss.
Yeah, she just stuck her head right in the car. She's like, we're friends now.
We were sober, very sober.
That was a ton of fun. So,
that was great.
Yeah, good times. I thought for Mormon Corner maybe this week I would just say a short little thing.
Okay.
Mormons, we don't approve of your lifestyle, we love you anyway. you're adults. You can do what you want.
Believe whatever you want.
You can give your money away to whoever you want to give it to you to. We love you just the same. While we don't condone your lifestyle, we'll let you live your own life as adults.
And, you know, in the end, we'll see who wins.
In the end, we'll all be eaten by bugs and no one will care.
Worm food. Worm food.
I'm only doing that because I didn't prepare a goddamn thing for Mormon Corner.
I attempted to sing Mandy a Mormon song, but then it turns out I don't know the words.
Oh, why don't you sing it for the listeners?
I can't even remember how it goes. I just started, it doesn't matter. This is Mormon song. No. I was like, how does that song go, Mandy? Sing it.
I don't remember the song you were singing. All I can think of now is, I love my Holy Ghost.
That's a commercial we need to record.
Every day. That's true. All right, let's
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm a good singer.
Usually when you have a mic and a shot, you sing much better than that. I don't know what your problem is right now.
I got the Rona.
You're just off pitch.
You can't help it.
We may have gotten the coronavirus.
Delta. This is why you don't.
Omicron.
Don't go to stadiums full of thousands of people without your booster.
Listen, we don't know if that's where it came from.
90% sure that was that or the hockey game. It's the only timeline that makes any sense.
Yeah. Choices were made. They weren't the right ones.
But was it worth it? Yes.
I'd also like to point out that right now, Orange County, California, is a cesspool of COVID.
It's true.
Not even joking. In the last 2 weeks at my nameless employer, probably put out 35 or 40 people with positive COVID results, and there's only 200.
Right.
You know? So it's crazy bananas.
Yeah, everybody I know, I have a few people like, oh, well, I was sick with a cold, but it wasn't COVID. I'm like, mm-hmm. Because I have to say, we've had COVID before. Like, somebody also said, I was like, well, it's much better this time than the first time. They're like, you have it again?
Well, we have the last year, the beginning one.
Right. So we had it when it was, you know, scarier. Luckily, you know, don't seem to have any chest issues each time. This time is actually a little bit harder for me to breathe than it was the first time. I didn't have any breathing issues the first time, but I've been short of breath for a while. Nothing scary, but just like when I'm going to sleep too, like I have to like, I can't breathe through my nose because I don't feel like I'm getting enough oxygen through my nose, and I'm not stuffed up either. Like, I'm just not getting enough air. Anyways, so I have that, and we didn't have that the first time, but the brain fog was crazy scary the first time. And this time I'm not really seeing too much of it, but then again, I won't really know, I don't think, till later. But anyways, this was more like a cold. It came on like a sore throat. Didn't have a sore throat at all last time.
Good thing we got vaccinated, huh?
It's true. If I didn't have a vaccine, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. For real.
But yeah. Anywho.
COVID
sucks. COVID fucking sucks.
That's also why it's 6 o'clock at night and we're just getting around to doing this, because we've been not feeling great.
No, this has not been my favorite.
But you know what? That's not going to stop us from putting on a great show
for
you.
No, and it's not stopping me from drinking whiskey either.
Cheers. Careful there, Tiger. In case you guys missed it, last week's episode, obviously we recorded for you in an Airbnb where you might have been missing what you're currently hearing, which is the helicopters and the trains and the kids drag racing in our neighborhood. So
hopefully, I'm sorry about that.
Hopefully it brings back that warm, fuzzy feeling right now that you're hearing.
Like, oh, good. The corporate overlords haven't come in and taken away their sweet, sweet podcasts.
You know, I actually said corporate overlords at work to somebody in, like, an official capacity.
Whoops.
I know. It was, like, somebody calling about they want to sell Girl Scout cookies, and I was like, I'm sorry, like, we can't allow anybody to, like, do any kind of soliciting or whatever. And she's like, oh, we did it there before, you know. Maybe if we did it in front of the Ulta. And I was like, honestly, as long as you're not in front of, like, XXX, you can kind of do what you want. Like, you can be in the parking lot, probably, or whatever. You just can't be, like, impeding traffic into the store. And they're like, they're like, well, maybe, yeah, maybe if we stand over closer to the Ulta side. I was like, as long as Ulta's corporate overlords don't care. And then I was like, I really shouldn't have used the words corporate overlords in an official capacity.
But then you went and told the world about it.
And then I did. Yeah, then I did. Nobody knows where I work. We've kept my employer such an anonymous secret
don't
that no one
look.
Could ever guess.
Don't make them even try to dig a little bit. It won't last long.
Please don't get me fired. Okay. Cool shit. Let's move on.
That's pretty fucking cool.
We have been binge watching in our sickness, illness days.
Shit's Creek. So good.
Yeah, this is my third rewatch of the series because it's that good.
Yeah, I want to say this is might be my third too.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, Schitt's Creek, it's very, very amazing.
So good.
Daniel Levy, Eugene Levy created it.
Catherine O'Hara's in it.
Yeah,
she's always fucking
my
awesome.
Fucking
chick.
Favorite.
She's our. If we were to worship an idol type, it would be Catherine O'Hara.
Maybe. Oh, my God. Maybe that's
O'Hara,
how.
O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara.
O'Hara, yeah.
So. We keep talking about starting a religion.
Right.
Maybe she can be our deity, but it has to be her character from Schitt's Creek.
But she's awesome in everything she's
she
in.
Is. She is.
Beetlejuice.
But that particular character is idol worthy. Don't you think?
100%, yeah. God, yeah. Love it. I know. Part of me was like, "Oh, should I bounce out?" Because that's the nice thing about rewatching a show. I don't feel like I have to watch it in its entirety. I can bounce out to another show, and I'm like, Arrested Development. That would be like the sixth time I've watched it. But yeah.
It's a good one.
I love it also very much.
All right, are you ready for this motherfucker?
This motherfucker.
To be honest, I haven't really been paying too close of attention to everything that's being uncovered by the January 6th committee.
Yes.
But, you know, I've heard little snippets. Yeah, here and there. Like, apparently Trump was just served his subpoena and...
For Georgia.
Yeah, and then there's, like, some forged documents that came about. And so rather than, like, try to go in from the very beginning, because I think we're probably late to the game, I'm just going to summarize for you this thread that I found on Twitter, and which made me look up some things that I thought were pretty interesting. So this is Asha Rangappa. She's a CNN analyst, but she's a former FBI special agent, and she's also a lawyer. But she said, since there's so much crazy, you know, crazy coming up all of a sudden, let me break down the theory of how the overturning of the election was supposed to go down. So this is kind of like the layman's terms for us.
Perfect.
Step one, John Eastman concocts a legal John Eastman concocts a legal blueprint whereby VP Pence circumvents the requirements of the Electoral Vote Act based on seven states submitting dual slates of electors. So John Eastman is he's a conservative lawyer.
Okay.
And he's just like a nobody. Nobody was paying any attention to him, but he happened to be like a guest on one of the Fox News shows, and I guess that's where Trump saw him.
Oh,
so
great.
Within
yeah.
like 2 hours, he was like in the Oval Office having a meeting.
Fucking douche.
I know, right? And I don't want to make this seem like Trump masterminded this whole thing.
Oh, he's not smart enough for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, this was handed to him.
Right. But, he's like, okay, let's roll with it.
Yeah, but anyway. So that's who John Eastman is. He's just a conservative lawyer, but he came up with this, like, basically legal blueprint on how this could work. And they could, you know, the actual electoral results could not be accepted or whatever. So he makes this legal blueprint, and then basically these seven states that are, battleground states, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Nevada, all these ones, they submit dual slates of electors. So they have two. They have a real one and a fake one, right? So you would need a lot of operatives, for lack of a better word, a lot of GOP loyal operatives in these states willing to forge documents,
right?
And they all did.
Jesus.
And those are the documents that have been uncovered. So basically they submitted two. They submitted one that was real and one that wasn't. And this would allow Pence to either count the alternate slate or not count those at all, because there were discrepancies, essentially.
So they purposely did fake ones,
uh-huh,
knowing that they'd be found as fake.
Yes.
So that it would cause disruption.
The whole plan was just to make it last long enough, just to delay it long enough so that And then there were some other plans, according to the way she lays this whole thing out, to basically allow President Trump, mm-hmm. I'm saying that in quotes, to, I don't know, enforce, enact the Insurrection Act. Because he had already started planting, you know, there was Proud Boys stabbing people in Washington, D.C. before that. So there was going to be protests. And, you know, if Mike Pence would have done what he was supposed to do, what he said he was going to do, which Trump said on TV, like, Mike Pence better do what I told him to do. If he does, we'll win this thing. You know what I mean? And he didn't. Thank God. But that would have given them enough time to stall to where there would have been riots, there would have been violence, and then he could have incited this, but enacted this Insurrection Act.
Right.
So anyways, the blueprint, this is step one that we're talking about. So this lawyer concocts this plan. Well, concocts the blueprint, I shouldn't say the plan. So step two, the GOP officials, operatives in those seven states, they do in fact create a false slate of electors and submit them as official so they can be used in this scenario, right? And then there's also, I retweeted this on Twitter if you want to check it out. There's a lot of links to sources.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, this shit is not just made up. I really, honestly, the reason I have to say that is because I feel like a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
At this point. And I think I'm supposed to.
Right.
You know, I think that this whole thing has been playing out this way for a reason. Because rational thinking people are not the kind of people who talk about our elected officials forging documents and coming up with this kind of bullshit, because it sounds crazy. It sounds like Republican QAnon crazy shit.
Right.
And I think that's why that narrative has been
in the deep state.
I think that's why that narrative's been in the media for so many years now.
Right.
Is to discredit this when it actually does happen.
Right.
Because I do feel like kind of a crazy person saying this stuff right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Anyway. So step two, we talked about step two. Step three, the Department of Justice, meanwhile, submits letters to each state indicating falsely that they have a reason to believe that there's been election fraud. This creates the perception that the results are actually in question, bolstering the VP Mike Pence's ability to discount their votes. And then there is a document right here linked in this Twitter thread that shows the Department of Justice letter that was never sent.
Was never sent.
But that was meant to be sent. They have it. The committee has a copy of it.
Perfect.
The internet has it. That's right here in front of me. I could read it to you if you want. So, yeah. So the Department of Justice has these fake letters. She also says, I should note here that, as with the quid pro quo with Ukraine, it wouldn't have mattered if these states did not actually investigate voter fraud. The Department of Justice letters would have been enough to create the appearance that the outcome in these states was still in the air.
Right.
Right? So it's all just about delaying it. On step four, the big lie in, this is in all capitals as if it's a real thing, which it is. It's repeated in rallies and on social media, saturating the information spaces to rile up the base and give momentum to the Stop the Steal movement. Step five, plan for all of these angry and agitated individuals to come to D.C. on January 6th, the day that Eastman, the lawyer's plan, will be put into effect. The protesters are sent to march on the Capitol to further put pressure on VP Pence and the lawmakers, as stated in the Oathkeeper indictment. And I honestly haven't read too much into this Oathkeeper thing. I'm sure that our listeners are probably already more well-versed in this than I am. But I do know that the main guy for the Oathkeepers that was indicted, he used to be a staffer for...
Yeah, Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Ron Paul. Used to be a staffer for Ron Paul. And then there's links to all this, too. So I do actually want to dig into that on my own time a little bit later, so I kind of know more what I'm talking about.
Right.
And then step six, since the mob attack is intended to keep up pressure on Pence and the lawmakers, they must be able to remain in the Capitol as long as possible. So, 6A, purge top DOD and replace with loyalists. And 6B, delay the National Guard response as long as possible.
Right.
Do you remember
which is
that?
What Trump did, yeah.
Yeah. And then it links to, like, an Esquire article that said, never forget that Trump purged the Pentagon leadership and delayed the National Guard from doing anything about it.
Right.
So that was all part of the plan. It seemed weird, and it seemed sketchy at the time. I didn't realize how fucking sketchy.
Right.
Step seven, and then there's a bunch of question marks. She says, I'm not sure what was supposed to happen at this point. Presumably, Pence would somehow declare Trump the winner, or if not, the Capitol would remain occupied until they found a way to make him do it. It seems like they plan to continue the siege. And then there's, she links to a bunch of tweets and stuff. She says, the point is that there are a lot of moving parts and evidence surfacing in a lot of different areas, but they are all connected to one overarching goal. Keep Trump in power by subverting the counting of the electoral votes and preventing the transfer of power to Biden. And then that's the end of the thread. And she says, but postscript, every step I've described above with additional detail is spelled out in the below article written by Sidney Blumenthal. This is a Guardian article, which I also retweeted if anybody's interested in reading it. I started reading it to you.
But it's pretty dry.
There's a lot of information in there. So you would really have to, like, take some time.
Yeah, you have some time to read it, click on links, follow the rabbit hole.
Yeah, a couple of things I did find out, though, is this plan kind of started in 2020. And it started at the behest of this woman who is the chairwoman of an organization called ALEC.
Okay.
Which is, this led me on a rabbit hole that I don't even know if I can go down, but it stands for American Legislation Exchange Council. And when you click on the link, it's got a picture of, you know, Ben Franklin statue and everything. And it says America's largest nonpartisan organization of state legislators dedicated to the principles of limited government, free markets, and federalism. Mm. It turns out this is actually like there's about 400 legislators that are all Republican, GOP,
right,
that are maybe Kristen Sinema or right, whatever, Joe Manchin, you know, but those people.
Right.
And it's really funded by the Koch brothers.
Of course.
Right? And then there's when you start getting into it, there's all these like subsidiary organizations. Like, there's one called PILF. I'm not making that up. Public Interest Legal Foundation. One called CNP. And this one was really interesting. It stands for the Council for National Policy. And this is made up of a lot of sketchy people and a lot of dark money. In fact, there are Koch money, dark Koch money.
Is it Koch or Coach?
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was Koch Brothers.
K-O-C-H.
Koch Brothers.
S in there somewhere. Anyways, yeah.
I might have to repent for that later. I always thought it was Koch. Anyways, the CNP, this woman wrote a book about it that I really want to read. It's called Media Money and the Secret Hub of the Radical Right. Which, again, makes me sound like
radical,
a fucking
right,
conspiracy theorist, right, nut. But she goes into detail about this CNP. Anyway, these guys all basically got together and formulated this plan and to hand to Trump, you know, a year ago. But basically, the part that I thought was interesting was, like, the origins of it come from the media.
Right.
Which is, you know,
not surprising.
Ironic, considering right, Trump's big fake news and, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess when you're planning on overthrowing a government or planning a coup, like, you have to delegitimize the media because that's the only way people are going to trust you and not real facts, I guess.
Right.
For lack of a better word. One other thing I did find interesting, too, when I was digging into this ALEC rabbit hole, is do you remember last week when we were talking about that lady who was married to the Supreme Court Justice and she's running for Secretary of State in Arizona?
Right.
Her name is Shauna Bolick. Do you remember we were talking about her last week? Arizona Secretary.
Oh,
she's
right,
running for,
yeah,
Arizona,
yeah,
Secretary,
yeah,
of State. So there are two people running for Arizona Secretary of State. Both of them are a part of this ALEC voter suppression committee, which is really what it turns out to be.
Right.
I'm down to the point where the chairwoman was saying to the group, like, you know, people are going to call you voter suppression or voter suppressors and racists. Don't let that get to you. Like, that's in the meeting minutes.
Wow.
No fucking kidding. But yeah, she's a member of that. And the other guy she's running against is also a member of that. So Arizona's just kind of fucked. The other guy is actually was one of the keynote speakers at the QAnon convention in Vegas. So that's what Arizona's working with.
Jesus Christ.
Can you believe it?
Not at all surprised.
So yeah, I just kind of barely started scratching the surface of all of this crazy shit that's going on, but it's fucking bananas what's going on.
It's terrifying. I mean, it's taken a long time to get to this point, but they have to do it properly so that way it doesn't get thrown out and it gets taken seriously. I don't see why it's had to take an entire year.
Yeah.
But at least it's happening. And God, can you imagine what would have happened if things went the way they wanted it to go? Like, I don't know how safe I would feel in this country. Like,
ultimately what it boils down to and what this whole ALEC organization is about, this limited government free market, is that corporations need to have a voice in politics.
They already do with Citizens United.
Dude, I know. You're preaching to the choir. It's right. All about money. It's all about keeping their money and not having them not have to pay taxes.
Right.
And they have all the money and they have all the power. And there's nothing we can fucking do about it.
So, John Ossoff. He and another person, I can't remember the name, just introduced a bill that would make it so that... people in government can't trade stocks, and nor can their families. And I'm like, thank God. Like, okay, that's a start. Now, will it ever fucking pass? No. But if people demanded it, it would have to. Mm-hmm. I think just people can't, this just goes with everything. You can't just idly sit by, which I think is why everybody's up in arms now. But I don't want to say they're not smart enough to figure it out. Like, they're up in arms, but for the wrong reasons. Like, they're still being led in a direction that's not real. Like, no, think for yourself. Where does the money lead you?
Mm-hmm.
Go that direction and fight against that. Mm-hmm. Not, they're trying to steal my votes. Like, oh, fuck off. You're fighting for the wrong thing.
Right.
I'm not saying that you're not smart. You're just like my mom, who's easily led.
Right. And that think that they're smarter than everybody else.
Right.
Which is a sign that you're not.
Right.
Just FYI.
Yeah. If you think everyone around you is a moron, there might be a chance that you're not that bright. I'm fully aware that I am not the smartest person in the room, like, at all times.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which makes me a fucking genius.
And we're smart enough to know, for the most part, sometimes, who to pay attention to and who's feeding you a load of horse shit.
Right. Generally, that can... You know, you could listen to somebody talk and go, oh, none of that is checking out to be real.
Right. Fucking, I've been reading all these tweets, too, about how people with kids, so it doesn't really apply to us, but, like, this child tax credit thing just got taken away, so people with kids are having to pay $1,300 more a year per kid starting this year because of the Republican, like, tax cuts for the rich.
Right.
It's bananas to me, and people just absolutely are going to blame that on Biden.
Of course they do, because when it's convenient. Right. Because it's always the outgoing president. They have to have their shit finally going in. So, like, the good economy is actually kind of on Trump a little bit, because that was his outgoing shit.
Right.
You know, Biden shit will be start showing up next year.
Right.
Like, maybe late this year. But, like, so it's just... all the bad things, the gas prices, all that shit. Someone tries saying, it's like, no, it's because we were so, you know, independent and didn't need oil from other places. And it's like,
oh, you're an idiot.
One, you're a fucking idiot. Two, is it worth me getting oil from somewhere else so we don't have to fucking destroy Alaska? Maybe. You know, like, just think of your consequences. This planet's gonna explode, and I wish it would do it sooner than later.
Well, we could use windmill energy, but the cancer.
And the dead birds.
Let's hear a word from our sponsors. Dead bird commercial. Cue dead bird commercial. Charlotte, what are you doing? That bird died for your sins.
And we're back.
Hi. We're less angry now.
I don't know about that.
And more ready to drink.
The whiskey makes me angry.
Please hold. Oh, it's so gross, but I didn't have a tissue.
I have all the clean ones.
Ah.
They're all clean.
Oh, okay, I'm good.
I grabbed them so that I would have clean tissue.
Thank God, you. I'll keep this one here.
It's because you already have COVID anyways.
Hey, do you want to hear a story?
I would love to hear a story.
I've already told you this one, but I've never told the internet this, and I think it's funny, so maybe they'll think it's funny too.
I'll be the judge of that.
So once upon a time... I was living in...
Sorry,
something was going to fall, and I didn't want it to be on the audio. Once upon a time, I was living in Hawaii, and I had a terrible, terrible toothache. Very terrible, to the point where half of my face was going numb, my eyeball was pulsing, it was, like, I thought I was dying. And I went to my dentist, and I couldn't get in for a couple of days. And by the time I went, the pain had kind of subsided. And I was like, I don't know what's going on with me. I was like, I'm going to feel really embarrassed if I think my tooth's cracked or something's going on. I'm going to feel really embarrassed if it's nothing because I don't feel any pain now. But it was real bad. And he did some x-rays and he's like, oh, no, you actually had a pretty bad infection in that tooth and it broke through your jaw.
Jesus.
Into your, like it was slowly eating away at the inside of your jaw. So it broke through into your body. And that's where the pain's coming from. And it's like, oh, great. He's like, so you're going to need to see a specialist. I was like, okay. So they send me out to the middle of the island and I go in and this guy puts me in the chair and he is dressed up in like it's Christmas time. So he's wearing a Christmas tree outfit with like ornaments on it and a Christmas tree hat.
Your dentist.
Yeah. He's okay. Kind of hot.
A hot Christmas.
Yeah. He's dentist. An Asian dude.
Hot Asian Christmas dude.
Yeah, and it's free just dude. He's not really like super hot right off the bat, but you know, he's not bad to look at. He puts me in the chair and his dental assistants are both hot young girls and they're also dressed as Christmas candy canes or whatever, so it's a little surreal.
Were you on drugs?
No, I was completely sober at this point. They did give me some drugs eventually, but so he's looking in my mouth and he does his x-rays and everything. He's like, oh yeah, there's, you know, infection, we're gonna have to get in there, clean it out, do our thing. And basically what had happened was, you know how your tooth has four roots that go down? So my original dentist, who had done this root canal for me in that tooth 20 years ago, his name was Dr. Jones.
Don't go there.
Well, he apparently, it's pretty easy to do. He missed one of the roots.
Okay.
And that was the one that had gotten infected. Dr. Jones also, I think, I don't know if it was a DUI or jail time for taking his own prescription oxys, but some shit went down with him. He was a friend of a friend's dad. He would, his like shirt would always be a little open and he had a real hairy chest and gold chains when he'd be working on you.
Hot. Super hot.
So, I won't say what city, but some of you might remember stories about Dr. Jones. Anyway, so Dr. Jones did me dirty, and he didn't...
Sounds like he did a lot of people dirty.
Fact.
That gold chain.
Taking those oxys you prescribed yourself.
Sounds like a party.
He'd give you extra gas if you wanted it. He'd give you extra pills.
Bless that man. Yeah.
Anyways, he didn't drill one of my roots, so, which got infected 20 years later, became a problem. Because I think, like, over time, you know, you take antibiotics for stuff here and there, and it probably just killed it at the time and then started building back up.
Right,
I don't know why it took 20 years to manifest. But so this dentist office that I'm at, he's a specialist, and it's pretty high tech, and he's got this like equipment on his face and he's got equipment on either side of him, and it's like not microscopic, but the instruments he's using are tiny. And I can hear, like, I get all numbed up. He takes the tooth out.
Right, the cap.
And he's, like, describing to me what's going on. He's like, oh, there's all this black sludge in here. And Jesus. I could smell it. It smelled like rotten, putrid grossness in my mouth.
I would throw up.
Yeah, it was hard not to. But, so
you
got this.
You were
hungover. No, God, no. So I got this kind of hot guy, and he's, like,
gagging over you.
The only way I can describe him is he's, like, an Asian Iceman from Top Gun. He's, like, smacking gum, which is not really professional, but like smacking gum, flirting with both of his assistants and me at the same time. And he's like looking in his microscope thing. And then he's like looking at this other thing and then back in my mouth and like chewing his gum and doing his things. And he's just like, he looked real cool from what I could see.
You know what's funny is you've told me the story before. I always envisioned Tom Cruise. Val Kilmer, what's wrong with me?
Iceman. It's a smacking of the gum.
Yeah. Not so much that he looks like an Asian Val Kilmer.
No.
Because I could see Val Kilmer looking a little Asian.
Yeah. Well, the guy was hot and, like, flirty.
Val Kilmer was hot.
And Val Kilmer was hot in that movie, and he kept smacking the
gum. Have you figured out yet? Who's the big shotter? Who's the hot shot?
Who's the top gun?
I'm going to have to report for that next week.
Anyways, he basically, whatever he's doing, he's manipulating a lot of equipment at the same time, like three different things with his hands, and he's got his little things in my mouth at the same time. He's flirting with two dental assistants, and he's flirting with me, and he's making this magic happen while smacking his gum and being a hot Asian guy dressed as a Christmas tree. So, anyways, he fixes the tooth, he rinses everything out.
So you didn't actually see the black sludge come out?
No, but he was just describing it to me, okay. But I could definitely smell it.
I've heard the story before, so I've come to my own conclusions on some things that happened differently. Mm. It's just all the black sludge was, like, oozing out of your mouth, and you were just watching it fall into the sink, which you never said, but...
No, I couldn't taste it or anything, but I could smell, because they have... You know, they have the suction-y thing
right,
in there, and then they're
right
rinsing it with the thing, and so they're sucking everything.
That makes sense. Mine was very unprofessional.
Well, to be fair, it is a little unprofessional, I think, for a dentist to be smacking on gum.
That's besides the point. He's Iceman.
But that's what, I feel like that one small detail is what turned this whole story from boring dentist office to Asian Iceman Top Gun dentist. Anyway, they sent me on my way, and I got a bill for $400.
That's it?
Well, insurance.
Oh, yeah, I've never had that. I don't know if I ever told my getting my wisdom teeth out story.
It's kinda, ooh, tell it.
Is it funny? It might be. If it's not, we'll cut it. So I did not have insurance, and I was like 20, I want to say, 21 maybe. I hadn't moved to Washington yet, so I think I was about 20, 21. But my wisdom teeth would come pop up out of my gums and then go back down, and then they'd pop out of the gums again, go back down. And I just kind of didn't care. I'm like, it kind of hurts, but I'm too cheap to get them removed. And it's fine. It's not like it's crowding my other teeth or anything. But then it got infected. And I'm like, God, it just hurts or whatever. And then I'd like try and clean it with like hydrogen peroxide and shit like that. And sometimes it'd go away, you know, because God forbid I ever go to a doctor. And thanks, mother.
I was going to say, you're your mother's daughter.
I don't need to pay them doctors to do what I can do myself. So I had this infection and it's not fucking going away. And I was going to Saddleback at the time. Like, the house I was living in, like, it was not my mother's because she didn't have one anymore. And they said I could live there, but I had to go to school and have a job. So I was, you know, serving tables, and I took history of rock. I took beginning through advanced sewing. That was about it.
Nice.
I think I lied and said I took math class. I was like, what do you take? I was like, math.
What's a subject people take in school? Spelling.
It never dawned on me that, like, I could have easily just looked up a math class and said I was taking that one, but I was like, I'm taking math. So stupid. Anyways, you know, I have this infection and it's not going away, and somebody in my hors d'oeuvre class had said, oh, you know, you can go to the school nurse. If it's impeding your schoolwork, they'll give you shit. And I'm like, oh, sweet. So I wait in line, I go to the school nurse, and I was like, hey, listen, you know, I have this thing. I have insurance. Like, it wasn't insurance. It was called Smile Savers, where it's like a discount you get with this card, but it's not insurance. It's just you show them, you tell them what you have, they make an appointment, and you get like a discount. You pretty much get a friends and family discount.
This sounds like a weed, like you're doing a secret weed deal. Like, you hand them your Smile Savers card and they give you a bag of weed.
It actually also used to work really well. You get $25 cleanings. If you had a cavity, it was $70, whatever. Huh. Something like that. It was like, because it now costs me like $120 without it, because I still don't have dental insurance. So, like, I go in, I think I get a cleaning for $100. If I have to get a cleaning x-ray, it's like $150, and I go every 6 months. But anyway, so I go in there, I'm like, listen, I have this insurance, but I have to wait 30 days for it to kick in, and this infection is killing me. And I was like, so if you could give me something, that would be great. She's like, oh, you want Vicodin? And I'm like... No. Well, I mean, yeah, but that's not what I was here for. Like, it 100% didn't even dawn on me that that's what I wanted. I was like, no, I want antibiotics because, right? And I'm talking to, because she's a nurse, I'm like, right? Because if I take, it will take the infection go away and then I won't have to. She's like, all right. Yeah, okay. And I was just like, yeah.
She thought you were a drug addict.
She totally thought I was just trying to get drugs. And it, again, didn't even slightly dawn on me that that would be a good idea or even try to do that. Because I wasn't really into pills at that point either. Like, I would go to people, you want a Vicodin? I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, pills are stupid.
I'll just drink the booze, thanks. But anyway, so I get my antibiotics, it goes away. And then I proceed to not do anything with my teeth again, because why bother? So then it gets infected again, cut to however many months later. And I go see the dentist for a cleaning, and he's like, yeah, you have to go to a specialist because they're impacted, blah, blah, blah. And then he gives me a mouthwash that is supposed to get rid of the infection, but I was like, I'll just get rid of it on my own again, like you do. Well, so I go, finally I have my appointment, I go in, and they're like, okay, are we putting you under today? And I said, no, I can't afford that. That's like $1,000, and I have like $400 for you. So $100 per tooth. I was like, but if I have some sort of like laughing gas, or I don't know, something that makes it take the edge off, they're like, well, we can give you gas. I'm like, great. So I'm like, can I listen to headphones while I do this? Because I feel like that might relax me. I'm like, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. So I put on Radiohead's OK Computer. Mm-hmm. And
good choice.
I have my, you know, mask on. I'm like, you know, deep breaths in. And then I'd hold it. And the dentist would, like, look at me. And he was like, kind of gave me this look like, I know what you're doing. And then I'd let it go out. And I would do it again. But honestly, I was not getting high off of it. And I was like, what the shit? I have done whippets enough times. I know how this works. And it was not working. And so finally, after, I want to say I was in there for like 15, 20 minutes doing that. And so the dentist comes in. And he puts shit in my mouth. Oh, mind you, also, they had done the numbing things in my gums. But because I think maybe I was a little high but didn't realize it, I thought when they were putting the needles in to inject, I thought they were actually cutting my gums open on each side. Jesus. Because it hurt so bad. But yeah, that was just for them to numb it. So everything was numb except for this one side that had the infection in it. I didn't realize it would dilute the Novocaine or whatever. So he goes in with the pick and whatnot. He pushes down, and I guess I winced a little bit. And he's just like, okay, that was 1/10 of the pressure I needed to do to break that tooth. And he knew exactly which one to go to, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we're going to have to put you under. And I was like, oh, come on. Whatever. So they did. And so, you know, they've got the IV in, and I've got the gas on, and I'm doing the hold it. And the nurse, but they've also injected the stuff to make you, why can't I think of what it's called? The
pass out?
Yeah, the pass out. The night-night juice. whatever it's called. So she looked, I that's the last thing I remember, because they have you count backwards, right? And I look at her, she looks at the doctor, the dentist all concerned, like, she's not breathing. And he just looked at her like, it's fine. And then that's the last thing I remember. And I was out. And then when I woke up, I was all like, you know, you're completely fucked up. Like, you're like, where am I?
Yeah.
And then I just see Linda, and I forgot that I had even called her because somebody had to drive me home, right? But I called her before they put me under. And Linda's the lady who I lived with. She's a very nice Catholic woman. I try very hard not to curse in front of her. And at this point, I don't think that I ever had cursed in front of her. And I just looked at her and I said, fucking $1,000. And then just started crying. And then that was it. That's the last thing I really remember. Oh, and then I tried to walk and fell over. Because I was like, I don't need you to help. Oh, okay, hold on, I'm going down. That's when I learned, just take the help, Charlotte. Just take the help.
That's great. It reminded me of a time that I also had to be put under with anesthesia.
That's it, yeah.
But I'll save that for another day.
What? No, tell me now.
Okay. Well, I had to be put under because I had some, like, I forget, cysts on my ovaries or something like that, and had to be removed. And they put me under, and when I woke up, I was hitching for breath, like, very dramatically.
Oh, shit.
Like,
like hiccups, kind of?
Kind of, but just like, I couldn't, like, my body was like, I couldn't breathe. Okay. My mind was perfectly calm and clear, right. But I had no control over what my body was doing. And they're like, they said something, at least I think they said this, and the more I've thought about it later on, I'm like, nobody would say this to you. But I swear to God, they said, oh, you're being a little dramatic, aren't you?
No, they 100% would say that to
would
you.
Would they?
I've been around some doctors who have no bedside manner at all.
Yeah, and I couldn't respond. I couldn't talk. In my mind, I'm thinking, no, I'm fine. Like, everything's fine. I feel great. But my body just wouldn't stop doing this thing. And then eventually, I don't know how long had passed, finally it calmed down. And then they, you know, put me in bed and gave me the morphine button, which I had a lot of fun with. But I had to be put down another time for another surgery. I can't remember what this other one was for, but it was the same thing. When I woke up, it was like my body had some sort of reaction.
I don't think you should go under anymore.
Well, I haven't since then.
If you can all help it, probably shouldn't. I don't think your body likes it.
Yeah, no, it was very dramatic, but honestly, it was like I didn't...
You're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like I wasn't getting air. It was just my body was doing its own thing.
Also, I don't like when people do that, especially if they don't know you. Now, if I know somebody who's always overly dramatic, that's one thing. But if I don't know you, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm ever overly dramatic, well, one, I probably drank too much. But it could also be that, like, because I'm not an overly dramatic person. But sometimes I am. No, but, like, if I am, it's usually because I'm having an issue. And I don't know how to properly, like, either explain it or express it or something like that. But anyways, I'm just saying. People need to not be assholes about that shit, especially if they don't know you. Because exactly. I know plenty of people who show no emotions at all, and when they show emotions, I don't know how to deal with it. Because I'm like, oh god, oh no, they need something from me, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, totally.
So if you have any emotions, you should show it to us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
We'll take negative emotions, positive emotions, it doesn't matter.
Just tell me what you're thinking, baby.
You can also check out our website at fhebadmormons.com.
We have official merch at TeePublic,
which is on our link tree, which is on all of our social medias.
Which is the YouTubes, the Pinterest, the Twitter, the Instagrams.
Are you jealous that you don't get patron shout-outs from us every week? Well, you too can become a patron for as little as $3
a month. Deborah, Katie,
Mark Facerberg, and...
But come and become a patron. It's $3, bro. I'll forget your name, too.
Thanks for listening to our show.
Go to YouTube, like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Love you, bye.